The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News.
It is the Pat Kenny Show. If you want to get in touch, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. It's Anton in for Pat. As the cost of living rises ever upwards, more and more lower income households are forced to make difficult choices, with food price inflation presenting huge challenges to so many. The price of petrol, home heating and other necessities are putting households under pressure. The question, of course, is, are those price increases slowing or are they rolling back slightly? To get into this, I'm joined now by the Head of Social Justice and Policy at St Vincent de Paul, Tricia Keelty, Chairman of Petrel Resources, David Horgan, and Managing Director of Kantar, David Berry. And David Horgan, I might start with you for a little bit of crystal ball gazing. To what extent could we hope that the input costs for fuel is going to come back, whether that be petrol, whether it be gas, whether it be electricity?
Well, if you look at the future market, which should be the best way of anticipating what's going to happen to prices, we have, first of all, we have very high prices now for energy particularly, for commodities generally, but for energy particularly. But what's really striking is that the future prices stay quite high. Like, even if you go out, the current oil price is only about 9% off if you go out a year, only 50% off if you go out 2 years. And even more spectacularly, if you look at gas prices, I mean, we're at literal records now in the European market, not US, which is a better situation. But if you go out a year, the gas price is flat. No, it does fall after 2 years. So what the market's telling you is that the whole European energy system is really screwed up. The world has issues because of underinvestment, but Europe has done spectacularly badly by a series of policy errors, backing unreliable sources rather than reliable sources, being over-dependent on a handful of sources, particularly Russia, for gas. And now we're living with the consequences. So the outlook for Europeans is bad.
And if we're looking at the prime factor among that list that you've given there, David, is it the reliance on Russia?
Well, on gas, there's been a spectacular increase in the gas price. And basically, yes, I mean, Russia was a very reliable supplier since the 60s. And on contract remains a reliable supplier. But what's happened this year is that we've imposed very tough sanctions on the entire Russian economy. And the Russians are retaliating by playing games over gas. Like, just later this month, they're going to shut down Nord Stream 1 for 3 days for supposed maintenance. Now, that's within the letter of their contract. There is a safety override, but very few people in the industry think that it's really necessary. And what they're doing really is saying, look, if you want reliable supplies at lower price, you should flow gas through Nord Stream 2, which is the second major pipeline from near St. Petersburg to Germany. And we're not flowing that gas for political reasons. We could solve this problem overnight if we start flowing gas through that pipeline.
What then about petrol and kerosene diesel, home heating oil? We've seen, if we look to the States as a bellwether, we saw gas prices peak at the pump at around $4 gas. And that has come back significantly since that peak. Are we likely to see the same pattern here?
Well, you can't generalize from midsummer, because midsummer typically is a lower demand for, you know, liquid petroleum products. But the other big factor that's been happening in the market is there's been demand destruction. You see it in gas in Europe with plants shutting down. But for gasoline, as you refer to in the United States, there's been some demand destruction. And particularly in China, there's been a slowdown in China, which has cut the anticipated growth in demand over the last quarter. But the biggest factor probably is that there's been massive intervention by the Biden administration in the liquid market. Last week, they were dumping 1.2 million barrels a day. That's 1.2% of world demand. They were taken out of strategic petroleum reserves and put it into the market. That's why you see a relatively depressed crude oil price compared to the gas price. But if you stand back and think about it, it's a completely crazy policy, because you have U.S. strategic petroleum reserves now, which are at their lowest level as percentage of demand than they've been since the early 80s. And yet the whole point of the reserve is supposed to protect you in the event of an emergency. We could have an emergency next winter, so this is the time we should be building stocks like the Europeans are for natural gas, rather than using the stocks to manipulate the gasoline price.
And that seasonal peak closer to home, David, if we look at the implications for consumers, if we look at the implications for businesses, I assume to some extent they have been protected from the worst of these cost rises by virtue of the relatively benign weather that we've been having. And that as that begins to turn into very chilly winter weather, we're going to see significant problems.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the natural gas market as opposed to the liquid fuel market, it's very seasonally driven, and we use much more gas and much more Russian and North African imports in winter than we do in summer. But this year, there hasn't been as pronounced an impact on price, and the reason is that the Europeans went into this summer season with very low stocks. Germany only had 25%, and they're trying to get up to 80% by Halloween. So there's been a desperate scramble to try and fill the storage that there is and buy cargoes of liquid natural gas, which has pushed the price of LNG up worldwide. And that's why you haven't seen much of a price benefit this summer. But the fact that we're even hoping for mild weather just shows how disastrously energy policy in Europe has failed. You know, they have literally made almost every decision wrongly, and consumers will live with the consequences this winter and maybe future winters.
Well, to that consumer consequence, because even if you have a very well-insulated home and you can barely sip gas to heat it through the winter, that doesn't save you from the input costs of everything you have to buy going up, particularly in the grocery area. And we have David Berry with us, who's Managing Director of Kantar, which specialises in looking at those kind of cost impacts across the grocery market. What are you seeing in terms of price rises, David, and what are you expecting to see?
Good morning. We are seeing some pretty substantial increases in prices of food and drink. In our latest release that we released just this week, the prices are up by 9.5% when we compare the prices that people are being asked to pay compared to the same period last year. And that's the highest that we've actually seen in 14 years. So it's a pretty substantial increase that people are being faced with at the moment. And when we talk to consumers and ask them about what their concerns are and what's impacting them, then price increases and cost of living increases is definitely top of their list at the moment.
And when you look at the groceries, obviously the fuel costs that we've been talking about are one contributor to that increase, but I assume as well you have things like wage demands and cost of living increases from staff and all of that also feeding into the increases.
It will do, yeah. There is that bit of a perfect storm at the moment. And actually, when we look and see, okay, which items are rising fastest, then looking at some of the core staple items that are on most people's shopping list, when we look at milk, butter, eggs and bread, they're all increasing at a higher rate. So the prices for those items are up by more than 15% when we compare to last year. And again, if you think of those items, they're core staple items, and the element that's going to be increasing prices for those is very much core input costs. It is about energy. It is about it's about feed for animal products. It's very much at that lower end of the scale. So they're not added value categories where there's a lot of different steps involved. So it just shows that I think the pressure that food supply chain is under, and it's one where margins are not very high. So there isn't that scope to make savings and cutbacks and avoid passing those cost increases on.
And I assume it is a long time since we would have seen that precipitous an increase, whatever about it going up 15%, going up 15% in a 12-month period, that has to be rare.
It is rare, yeah. I mean, we first started tracking it back in 2008, so it would be 14 years ago, and prices in the early summer of 2008, they increased by 10%, but that's the only time when we've seen prices increasing by more than double digits. And I think when we look at the rate of increase, how it's increasing from 1 month to another, then our expectation will be that increase will keep getting higher over the coming months. So, for example, next month, maybe it will edge above the 10% mark in terms of what people are having to pay. And when you look at, the average grocery bill for a household over the course of a month, then it's €580 that people spend on grocery items. So if you then say, okay, a 9.5% increase, then if people were to buy the same products, then that's an additional €55 that they have to find just to cover the increase in cost.
So you're looking
at the impact of that on households is significant.
Hugely significant. I mean, if that's your average, you're looking at, what, €600 additional per year that consumers will have to find, at the same time as they're going to have to find significant money for fuel if they use gas or heating oil to heat their house. Charlie Weston in the Irish Independent talking about increases of almost double that some consumers are going to be paying between 500 and 1,000 euro more for their home heating oil, which when you add it to the grocery bill, that becomes significant. With us as well is the head of social justice and policy at St. Vincent de Paul, Tricia Keelty. Tricia, for your charity and for the people you support, what's your expectation as we head into winter?
So from our point of view, it's already been a very busy year for our volunteers and a very difficult year for the people that we're supporting. Since January, we've taken over 110,000 requests for help, and that's an increase on 20% compared to previous years. So coming into winter now, we know at the moment our volunteers are supporting households with back to school costs, and we are preparing for an increase in demand in relation to energy. And also food has been an issue that's always been part of the work that we do in terms of food poverty, but we expect that to also be exacerbated in the coming weeks and months. I suppose from our point of view, it's really important that the government make the right decisions in budget 2023 to help protect people during winter, because from our point of view, it's really important that there's targeted income supports as well as investment in services to help people with those costs. Otherwise, we're going to see a deepening of poverty. More people are going to be pulled further into hardship, and people who maybe never have been touched by poverty before are going to experience it for the first time unless the support package is right.
When you say targeted supports, what kind of things do you want?
So in our pre-budget submission, we have asked for an increase in core social welfare rates by 20 euro. That's just to keep people standing still in terms of the rate of inflation that people on low incomes are experiencing. We also want to see extra supports for people at greater risk. So, for example, children, child poverty is a huge issue, particularly among lone parent households. And also from with people with disabilities as well, are a group really at risk of falling deeper into poverty. And then older people living alone, we need extra supports for those households. And then we want to see investment in services. For example, we want to see the government make progress on genuinely free primary and secondary education. That would make a massive difference to families who are under incredible stress every August and September time. And then investment in things like rural public transport, energy efficiency schemes, and then obviously housing, more social and affordable housing will be critical as well.
And presumably some of what David have been talking about is particularly challenging for the people that you represent, because if it is general inflation costs, there is the scope that you might be able to say, well, we can tighten our belts or we can change our spending habits and we can contract and we can try to find a way to make ends meet. But if the prices that are going up are in the core necessities of how you heat your home, how you get to and from work, and how you feed your family, with the central staples all going up by those kind of degrees, there's not a lot that people can do.
Yeah, that's right. Because even before this period of rapid inflation, people on low incomes were already making those very difficult choices, because we have social welfare rates that are below the poverty line. We have a minimum wage that isn't a living wage. So people already have to make very difficult choices. They've limited options in terms of what they can cut back. So we're really concerned about households who literally have no slack left in their budgets. They've no options left, and what will happen to those households, particularly households with children, because we know parents adopt a whole range of strategies to protect their children from the effects of poverty. And that means parents sacrificing their own needs. So that may be parents skipping meals so that they're ensuring that their children can eat. But that can only go on for so long. And that's why it's so important that we're supporting people through this cost of living crisis in the right ways.
David Horgan, I want to go back to you in a moment, because there's questions coming in from, I assume, people living in standalone rural housing where they don't have access, for instance, to a direct natural gas supply like you might have in Dublin suburbs, asking about kerosene prices. Before that, though, David Berry from Kantar, you talked about the rise that we've seen, 14-15%, biggest level of cost rises in since 2008. If you were looking to see what it is that needs to change to get that back under control, is it a drop in fuel prices? Is it inflation returning to normal levels? What?
I think certainly fuel and energy prices are a big factor within this. They do make up such an important part of input costs, and that a return to some level of normality there will help. I do feel that there is this is an inflationary period that, from a food point of view, eventually it will bottom out. So So it's a one-off impact, and it's not something that's going to continue on at this rate ongoing. So we would expect it to reduce back down next year and get back to the usual levels that we would have seen. I think we're in the marketplace that we're in Ireland, the level of competition that's there between food suppliers but also retailers means that as soon as there is an opportunity to pull back those levels of inflation, it will feed through, it will come through in that supply chain.
David, thank you very much. That's David Berry from Kantar. He's Managing Director of Kantar. Thanks as well to Tricia Keelty, who is the Head of Social Justice and Policy at St. Vincent de Paul. To go back finally to David Horgan from Petrol Resources, questions coming in about your expectation in relation to home heating oil prices. A lot of people just asking, can you effectively repeat or go into more detail on what you were predicting, David?
Yeah. Basically, the home heating oil has less tax than your regular petrol or diesel, and we've temporarily reduced the excess duty to the end of this month on petrol diesel. But still, the key factor is going to be the crude price, and the crude price has dipped for these temporary reasons that we mentioned over the last few months. It's more likely to go up and down this winter. There's so much volatility and uncertainty in the market that this is a year to stock up early. And I know it may not suit you to fork your money out early, but this is a year to stock up early so that if the worst does happen, you have a full tank. And if things get better, well, that's the cost of insurance.
David, thanks very much for joining us on the show this morning. That's David Horgan, who is chairman of Petrel Resources.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.